This is the Old Republic Podcast.
Spoiler warning for the Knights of the Old Republic series, Star Wars, The Old Republic, and all other media.
This is where the fun begins.
Let's remind the Jedi what happens when the weak seek to match metal with the Dark Lords of the Sith.
Sir, from the surviving officer's reports, Lord Revan has gone down with the ship.
He's still alive.
All right, listeners of the Old Republic podcast. Today we are joined yet again by the one and only Marcus Moseley, and we're excited to talk with him about Holochronicles and a couple of other things.
How y'all doing? I'm glad to be back here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that I had you two lovely people on the show of Holochronicles, which was in the works from the very beginning.
Ooh. Yeah, did we record that like 2 years ago? I can't remember.
No, it was earlier this year, ladies and gentlemen. I know. I said I was going to try to get it through summer, but given the fact that this season was the biggest and longest process, and there's many, many stories behind the scenes that I will get into at some point in time when the show is over. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a reason why it's the final season.
I like that you're having a tell-all of your own project. I think that that's going to be pretty fun.
I'll announce it here. I did a Q&A last time for season two. I'll do it for this, for season three, okay. Definitely.
Cool.
Hey, awesome. Yeah, so that's exciting stuff. So season three, it just came out as of, the three of us talking right now. Two episodes are out in the world. So that's exciting stuff. Give us some insights, Marcus. How many episodes are we looking for here in the final season, or is that for us to find out?
I don't know if I want to give that away. That just makes the countdown even more stressful. We just got through the first two episodes. By the time this comes out, this episode comes out with you guys, episode three should be out. It should be closing out the arc of the first two episodes.
Okay.
Good deal. Cool.
I like the sound of that. And yeah, if you listen kind of at the top there, we had a little bit of a teaser trailer there for everyone to get the appetite whetted for here, Holochronicles Season 3. But Marcus, I guess to kind of kick off this episode a little bit, do you want to maybe give just a little bit of a quick recap on where Jolie is as we start Season 3 for people who might not have listened yet? You know, they're going to go listen right now probably, but...
Well, as we started off in season one, it was basically him, I want to say, a good chunk of his life in the Jedi Order. He was a plucky young Padawan, just hanging out and having fun, you know, breaking the rules as Padawans do, still not getting the respect by the Council that he deserves. But he saw an opportunity to help out a planet, and he did. Got reprimanded, and things became all hunky-dory. But in the time he was doing that, he met his future wife, Nayama. And then that's how season one ended. Season two picks up, I want to say, about a year or so after the events of season one. And this is where you start seeing the rise of Exar Kun and how it affects him, as his story runs parallel to the comic series of The Old Republic with... the Great Sith War, how it's all beginning and how he's intertwined with it and how it's affecting him and his love life and how it affected Nayama, which she turned out to be one of those that was on the planet. Well, I don't know if I'm giving spoilers. Well, if you read the Old Republic comics, you know what's going on. But for the ones that don't know, basically in this season, in season three, in season two, she turns to the dark side and she starts running with Exar Kun. Now, with this season, season three, you'll find out the ultimate reason why. She gave a tease of a reason why, kind of a short answer. But now you get to find out what truly happened and how she became part of his Brotherhood of the Sith. That's basically the rundown of that. And season three picks up 3 years after the events of season two and in the middle of the war that Exar Kun started, the Great Sith War, if you will.
Oh, very awesome, very awesome. Yeah, it's good to get a little bit of a refresher there. And yeah, season three is off to a happening start. So very excited to see where this tale leads us as we make our way through this final season here of Holochronicles.
Yes, it's, you're seeing a war-torn Jolie. Like, he is, man, he's not really happy anymore. He's stressed out. It's basically him in the middle of like a version of like World War II. Think of like, I think the best way I can describe it is sort of almost like, you know, Obi and Anakin, you know, in the middle of just the fight and just tired. Sure, they find, those guys found a little bit of fun wherever they could, but Jolie, he's not having fun. Well, except for maybe in episode two, where he gets to take down some cannons. But other than that, that's about the last bit of fun you're going to see from Jolie as the season continues.
So Brian and I voiced some characters in episode one, and then in episode two, you were joined by the great artist and friend of the pod, Huni. Are there any other people from the audio drama, Unreal Cinema KOTOR, or any other voice actors or actresses to watch out for?
I don't know. You're going to have to listen to find out.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you this much, though, that working with you two on the opening, you guys kind of reshaped the opening of the episode. Originally, it was just going to open with you know, Jolie sitting there talking on his holocron and to you guys, the audience, just, you know, 3 years, just starting off with that. It's like, no, I need an intro. And then you guys brought the levity that I was looking for, just like, all right, you know, there's possibly an awakening with Brian's character here with Paddock. And then, of course, you know, Cassie over here being just like, you know what? Yeah, right. Like, you could possibly be a Jedi, whatever. It's like, just a little poke at it. That's what I wanted to show, is that, yeah, it's all dark and gloom later, but, you know, there's still hope for happiness and something like that to end at the end of the war. Kind of like, for the people that watch Game of Thrones, whenever Ed Sheeran showed up and Arya's sitting there in the middle of, you know, of, what's her face? The Lannister army. It's like, they don't know who she is, but she's hearing that these guys are, one's a farmer, one's, you know, just got married, one wants to go home and continue the family business, one's a blacksmith, and they're all just thrust into this war. It's like, yeah, there are people that in this war that are just happy people, and they just want to do their duty and go home versus possibly losing their lives. Whereas when you get to Jolie, he's already in the worst shape possible. So you get that, the dichotomy between the two. And I wanted to keep that last bit of just like, oh, there might be hope. Well, not for Jolie at this moment.
Yeah. I'll just add that I think there's a reason why I try to stick to the writing/creative side of things rather than being a voice actress. But, you know, I think Brian really knocked it out of the park.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't know if that's true at all, but it was a lot of fun to do it. And it was very natural because I'm very optimistic and Cassie is a naysayer. That's true. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was super fun to do. And one of the things that I thought was fun and interesting, and you know, probably other projects, I guess, probably work this way too. But this was really kind of my first time doing something that, you know, wasn't the, you know, our Vassal audio drama that I, you know, kind of knew what that story was. You basically sent over our lines, but I had no idea, like, in the context of the story, who I was or where it was going to, like, fit in with the rest of the story. So I was surprised, as everyone else out there, to hear Cassie and me in, or hear Cassie and myself in the first part. So that was pretty fun. And I imagine, you know, kind of everyone else is, you know, starting to figure out where their part of this story lies. And that's pretty fun. And this is the first time you've used voice actors, right, Marcus? The first two seasons were solely a one-man vocal show, if I believe.
Yep, it was all me the first two seasons. And I was like, okay, I need help. I can do a lot. I've done a lot. And it's basically me stretching my skills here. It, the Hollow Chronicles has been basically, you know, one of the greatest like workouts for myself. It's like not to be narcissistic and stuff like that. Blah, I can do voices. Blah. But the thing is, yes, it was something, and it is something that I'm proud to say. It was my first step into voice acting, and not my first time stepping into creative writing and all that good stuff, but into sound mixing and creating images through sound and creating something for the mind palace, if you will. And yeah, it was a challenge, and I just jumped into it without thinking. And then come this season, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of characters. There's a lot. And I can only do so many without sounding exactly like myself or possibly breaking my voice. So I'm just like, you know what? I need help. So opening with you two, and then when Houdian came in the second episode, of course, he was very nervous. He'll tell you himself. But at the same time, I was like, no, dude, it's me you're working with. Don't worry about anybody else. I will tell you if you were doing a bad job, which he did not, and neither did you two. So you took direction very well. And as I said, whenever I sent you guys your lines, I'm like, don't worry, I won't tell you where you are. You'll just be surprised exactly when you show up, because then it'll be like, oh, here I am, versus like, okay, I'm going to show up in this scene in about 5, 4, 3, 2. And then you just ruin the surprise and kind of take away the novelty of just, you know, like experiencing it. And that is what I wanted. And I got it.
And you did get it. Definitely. I want to go back to basically kind of what you were just saying there, is that, you know, season three here is very big. There are a lot of voices here. We haven't heard the whole season yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that season three is like leaps and bounds ahead of the first two seasons in terms of kind of the production of it, you know, the production value, the scope of the story, all of that stuff. So do you have a rough idea, Marcus, of like how much bigger, how much more work season three was than the first two seasons?
If I have to say, season one took me, let's see, I want to say, funny enough, season one was, I say this as sort of not completely, but the majority of it was, oops, sorry, hit my mic. The majority of it was improvised. So as I was recording and releasing, I was releasing episodes as I was recording them. So they were written down. Oh, yeah. So my journal over here that I keep with me, that's the hard copy of everything of seasons 1 through 3 and of Hadley's Hope. All of that. Wrote that just out of a fever dream of episode 1 all the way until the end. Or episode 1 all the way to at least 7. And then started recording 1, editing on the fly. And then by the time I was done with it, it's like, and it's out there. So imagine that process. Let's say starting Sunday, I want to say Friday. Starting Friday, editing, recording all throughout that time, putting sound effects, finding sound effects. And then by Thursday night, by 10 o'clock or sometimes into like 3 a.m., having the episode exported and ready to upload by 6 a.m. the next day or by whatever time I woke up out of my just passing out of exhaustion. That was season one. Season two was, okay, I need structure here. So, all right, cool. So season one, that probably took about, it's 10, 11 episodes because there was an epilogue. That took about, I don't know, 2 months, maybe. Season two, around the same time, 2.5. Season three, I would say about 6 or 7 months.
Oh, wow.
To almost a year, because I had so many things that went up against me. I lost a lot of things to help me get the sound effects that I needed. So I was just scrambling, just like, okay, what happens when you lose your source of creating sound effects and creating that atmosphere? It's like, all right, what can I create on my own? What can I pull from? Because I used an app. I would not say it on here. Can't give away all my secrets. That app was lost to me, and I was like, damn it, I lost my way to get some new sound effects from all the Star Wars world and some new ones that I really love. And, well, okay, what do I got? What do I got? I got 2 seasons worth of sound effects. Maybe I can mix here and there. And then I kept searching and searching and found something. And then here we are today. And got it done. So there's going to be so many sound effects that you guys are going to recognize. I've pulled from seasons 1 and 2 and then remixed a lot of them, and a lot of them from other Star Wars properties that should make that a game if somebody can actually notice which ones are which when after the episode's done, though.
So is the app shut down?
Basically, it was erased. Shut down because naturally not all the sound effects I got were from video games or a reputable site, if you will. So I just found somewhere that I can download them and just get them as MP3s versus, you know, buying sound packs, which gets extremely expensive. So I found a way. And found a way again, and here we are today.
That's right. When you're doing projects like these, it's basically just getting to whatever hurdle is next and then teaching yourself how to get over it and then hoping that you can do it well enough. You know, we kind of know that from our own experience here. So, yeah, I mean, that's a ton of work, Marcus, for one person to undertake all of that. For sure.
So if I sound tired on some of these episodes, believe me, it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I haven't slept for at least 10 hours. I am doing this in the middle of the night, people. So forgive me.
I mean, I did offer to send you a pumpkin spice coffee, which is my favorite. You turned me down, so that is on you, Marcus.
I told you, I am not basic. I am dainty, okay? I need me some apple cider.
Well, only Atris drinks, you know, pumpkin spice lattes. And well, Brian, we'll allow.
Atris and I are besties, for sure. So on the Atris, when Holo Chronicles of... Atris comes out, we'll dig into that a little bit more. So,
that would actually be hilarious. Like, can I just pitch it for a second?
Go ahead.
It would maybe be kind of like Jane Austen, like in some of her unpublished work, and like her letters is like kind of catty, like, and but also hilarious. You know, I feel like it could be kind of unintentionally hilarious for like Atris to be like, truly, I am the best Jedi, you know? Like, I'm just the humblest, and all these other Jedi just don't understand me the way that I do, and right I am, you know?
Her just laying on, like, the like, Victorian couch with a notepad or a journal of some kind. Oh, woe's me. They do not understand my brilliance, nor do they understand the way that I am giving them tough love. Oh, Mr. Darcy.
And she makes all the handmaids just stand around and listen to her, you know, wax poetic about.
One's fanning her, the other one's giving them Star Wars grapes. It's like, ugh, you can have it. You can have it.
We have so many good ideas, everyone. So.
We have a lot of good ideas. We're going to put a pin in that and return to that idea someday in the future, no doubt.
I'm not writing it.
Marcus, just get 6 months carved out of your schedule. You'll be able to do it.
No.
I want to go back to what you actually were doing here, Holo Chronicles of a Jedi, season 3, or just kind of the whole thing, I guess, in general. And we know you've been on the podcast several times now. I think you are our most frequented guest, so we'll send your certificate out here shortly. But we know you kind of got into this for, you know, kind of you love, you know, the storytelling aspects, you love the like the voice work and stuff like that of it too, which obviously is very important in an audio drama project such as this. But was there any thing like surprising about doing it, you know, like the sound design or the mixing, or, you know, working with other voice actors here in the third season? Were there any other aspects of doing this project that you were surprised that you enjoyed as much as you did, or maybe even enjoyed more than what kind of got you into doing it in the first place?
It was what I enjoyed the most is the fact that I could do it, because a lot of people in this world basically look at something, they look at the unobtainable and they consider it the unobtainable. It's like, I can write, you know, a Star Wars podcast, I can write an audio drama, I could do it, but I don't have the money or the time. Well, I don't know how to do this. I'll just hire someone else to do it. Or I don't know how to get sound effects. I don't know how to edit sound effects. I don't know how to mix them. There are plenty of tutorials out there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there are plenty of free programs like Audacity that you can just record off of and then figure out how to use it. It took me about a day to do it, and guess what? Here I am. And not everything in this world is hard to do, or hard to attain. Yes, it's hard to do, but you have to be willing to do it. So with that idea in mind, nobody's ever told the story of Jolie. You've heard, you know, him talk about it. Kevin Michael Richardson voicing the character in the video game. Love him. He tells you his entire story. Okay. Has anybody ever adapted it? No. Okay, I could be the first to do it. Well, damn, what is that going to sound like? Or how is that going to be possible? I don't know. I figure it out as I go. And I did. It's about persevering and pushing past that doubt of you going, this is going to be hard. Oh, this person's going to do it better than I can. So why should I even try? Oh, they have all the game sound files from all the Battlefront games. They have a motorcycle like the one that's driving past me right now. They have all this good stuff. They have everything. What can I do? Well, you can start pulling from video games if you want. We have game capture now. There are people that have the sound packs out there that you could pay for, or you can find a way to download. Some people post it on YouTube and they have the links so you can download it. It's all you can do. There's ways to accomplish this stuff, people. It's the only thing that's tough about it, it's time consuming. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in front of a screen for the most of the time for up to 6 to 12 hours if you really are trying to knock out an episode. And there you go. All you have to do is create a structure, jot it down. I got a journal. It's literally full. There's only maybe about 10 pages left. Write it out. Create a structure. It's simple storytelling. You just have to visualize what you want people to see while hearing it. That's the trick that I proposed to everybody. That's the trick that I learned as I was doing this. As I was writing, it's like, okay, what can I say to describe the scenery and what does it possibly feel like? Okay, people know what X-Wing sound like, so I'll use a different sound effect. People know what blasters sound like from a cannon, so there's cannon fire. People know what lightsabers sound like, what they look like, what they can do. So if you have them slash a wall, you know exactly what that's going to sound like, and you can easily visualize it. All you have to do is say if the character's lightsaber is blue or green, or red, or orange, or purple, or whatever color's out there, magenta. It's those things you have to just jot down all that in your mind and then create a story. It's very easy. It could be a short story. It could be one page. It could be 10 pages. It could be a full novel. Just do it. And then if you feel comfortable bringing it out into the world and letting everybody take a listen and judge it and talk about it or bring you onto a podcast to talk about it or ask you questions about can they be on the show, it's all there. If you feel that comfort level and you start getting that praise and people come to you, that's fuel to the fire, people. Don't let it be snuffed out by your own doubts. Just keep going. I had doubts when I was doing Hollow Chronicles. I was so nervous to release the first episode. You guys have no idea how many times I went back. I was like, okay, I can switch that. Oh, I can re-record that line. I need a sound effect there. I still do that as these episodes are released. So a lot of them are done. I'm not touching them because later on as the series continues, it gets way, way, way more complicated. It gets very complicated on the sound area and how I position these sounds. So will I go back and touch up on some things? Absolutely. I do it all the time. But the whole base of the whole thing is done. It's just maybe I can change the auto here, change the pacing over here. Or I can just release it and stop tinkering with it because then you lose sight of what you were trying to accomplish originally. So just let it go. And then sit back in your corner for a little while and then step back into the light. Be like, okay, did anybody like it? If they do, they do. If they don't, it's fine. Guess who did the podcast? Guess who wrote the story? Guess who made all the sound effects? You did. They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. It reminds me of a quote. I don't know who said it. I don't know who to attribute it to. Maybe Cassie knows, but there's a saying. It's something like, art is never finished. It's just released.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're getting at there. And I like that a lot. So
definitely one of the most proud moments is probably the fight between Nayama and Jolie at the end of season two. That's one of my most favorite episodes. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was intense. And I can tell that doing all three seasons of Holochronicles, it was a passion project. You really came into your own and you learned so much. And
I can't take this praise. I'm going in my hobbit hole.
Yeah. It's so much fun to listen to like fan projects, like, because usually there's just so much passion behind them, like whether it's Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia or Star Wars or kind of like expanded universe Star Wars. I just get excited. And I mean, like Brian and I, we did the Max Rebo, you know, was it Behind the Tunes?
Oh yeah, Behind the Music with Max Rebo. Is that last winter, 2 winters ago? I don't know. It's been a while. We did that. That was a lot of fun. We did our Valentine's Day special with Marcus.
Yeah, which Marcus was on. Yeah.
No, I wasn't there. I was not there. Watto was there. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Specifically were there because it was a text thread between the three of us.
Well, that's how it started, but Watto did all the
Watto did the heavy lifting. Watto did the heavy lifting. And then last year, we did a kind of a smaller project with Hooney, who was just featured, you know, famous for being in episode two of season three, Holochronicles of a Jedi. We did our Halloween spooky stories last year, so that was a lot of fun, you know, kind of in that same vein. So yeah, I definitely love these fan projects too.
Yeah,
and I'm so proud of Hooney. It's like, dude, he was so even whenever he asked, like you guys did, but he was very nervous because like you guys, it was the first step into a form of voice acting. And he will tell you himself, and I'm definitely going to repeat it for him. It's like, yeah, I don't know if I can listen to myself. And I was like, just trust me. Trust me. I know exactly what I'm going to do for your character, and you're going to love it. Okay, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And then he did.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I wanted to ask kind of one more thing here before we kind of wrap up here on Holochronicles. Now you started with season one. You mentioned you kind of wrote out that story, but then you were really doing that, you know, kind of week to week. When you started doing it, did you have like this full like three season arc done, or were you just like, let me get through like this one season? I don't know. I'll combust into flames after, I don't know, something will happen, right? So how much like of the story was like already in your head, I guess, before, you know, you got to seasons two and now three? Was it just something you finally got like season one out and then you took a deep breath and you're like, okay, that was pretty fun, I didn't die, so I can go on and do more of this? Or was it stuff that you wanted to talk about like from the start, or how did that work?
That's about 90% of it. Yeah, I did it. I didn't die. I rested. No, I'm of the old school belief of have your plan, know exactly where your beginning, middle, and end is. Unlike the current state of Star Wars right now, especially the sequel trilogy, there was a plan to do season one, two, and three. It was always going to lead into the Great Sith War because that was the hook. I'm like, okay, I could go on about, you know, him talking about the days on Eucatus or Eucatus, as he says it in the video game. I don't care. Eucatus sounds so much better. Or I could continue about even more of the tales that he talked about in the game, because it was all based off of Jolie's dialogue there. Just like, okay, that story's rich. What else does he do? Does he do after that? I could do a story about Andor Vex. Yeah, sure. Maybe. No, that's not as interesting because it's very short. It's like a one shot kind of situation. But he starts talking about Exar Kun, and I'm like, wait a minute, who's that? And then I did more research, and given the timeline, and I have to really thank 100% Star Wars, because he did a great breakdown of Jolie Bindo's life during, before, during, and after the war, and leading up into KOTOR 1, and then a little bit after the events of KOTOR 2. That helped a lot. Research, people, research. Some people actually do the heavy lifting for you, and it's helpful. So yeah, from the very beginning, it was always, from beginning to end, a 3-season arc. Like most TV shows, like Breaking Bad, that had a 5-season planned out arc. Sure, there was, you know, the spinoff movie and stuff like that to follow Jesse, but at the same time, that's not what I have in mind here. It was just Jolie's story from beginning, middle, to end. And it was always going to be a 3-season arc, and it's ending there.
I was just going to... So, quick follow-up then. When can we expect season 4 of Holochronicles of a Jedi?
That, I don't know, sir. Whatever I have something to say about, you know, Jolie, maybe in his later years, I don't know. It might be a spinoff.
Yeah, maybe it's called... Better things that Jolie did, you know, other than the Revan novel, you know.
If anything, honestly, if anything, if I were to do another story for Jolie to come back for that, you know, little bitty mini movie that comes out afterwards, I don't know, maybe after the events of KOTOR or maybe in between, wherever he was like a smuggler and stuff like that, when he ran around with... Davit Kotris, maybe, but that's I don't know. We'll see how I feel, because that's a lot.
Yeah. And before we move on to talking about the audio drama that you've helped us out with, like, I mean, you voiced the narrator, you voiced Vrook in part 1, and then like 50% of the characters
in the rest
part 2, and then. I'm trying to remember. Are you in part 3?
Yep. I think I'm 2 characters.
Jolie. Trask and Jolie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we move on to that, I believe you were cast as Trask Ulgo in the Unreal Cinema KOTOR adaptation, unfortunately. And understandably, it just fell through. But what was your story there?
My story is, I'm Trask Ulgo, ensign with the Republic Fleet. Well, my story is the same as what you've heard. A lot of us, we were just in a holding pattern, and basically we all recorded a lot of the lines and stuff like that. And, you know, with this time, Scott would tell you himself is that it was a very small team, and along with some of the cast members that worked on the show, or on the first part, if you will, we're creating it in-house and all that good stuff. Now, of course, you know, there's all these rumors and people saying, like, oh, it's mismanaged. How could he do that? You know, he should have just done one episode, you know, and just, you know, showing off that way he can get it done. You guys, think of it this way. It was him and maybe 3 other people that got together and did the Malik short. That was the quality that we were starting with and continuing with. It just, I understand, like, for creators and stuff like that, you, the people that want to watch this content, we are beyond thankful for your patronage and beyond thankful for your viewings and stuff like that. The Malik short got to 1 million views in record time. We thank you and love you for that. And I wasn't even in it. I'm just a part of the cast on the main KOTOR situation, but I know the voice actors that were behind it. And, you know, director Scott, and just, we loved that response. That gave us even more fuel, gave Scott even more fuel, just like, yeah, there's people that want to see this, yes! But at the same time, it's a small crew that works on it, and the exhaustion and the preparation and the hours that go into doing something that short. Imagine something that was maybe 20 to 30 minutes long. I can't remember exactly the runtime, but I believe it was going to be around that long. It was just going to be the opening part of the game. But there was so much that was going to be in it. Now, I don't want to, you know, talk out of turn and, you know, just be like, oh, whatever. Oh, yeah, but the KOTOR thing is dead. Nah, not to us. It's like if Scott came up and said, hey, we're doing it. Let's go. Immediately, we would jump back into that Discord and be like, hey, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We're there. We will clear our schedules. But as of right now, it's like, look, he's still a human being. And it is exhausting to be on a small team and doing something of that quality and that height and to get it out and to deal with all the red tape that comes with it, because he has to, you know, do negotiations with other entities and stuff like that. I mean, Lucasfilm shuts down just about everything these days whenever it comes to the Old Republic. So he got the go ahead to do it. That's how the Malik short was released. And he got the go-ahead to do, you know, the first part of the KOTOR, essentially, movie or series that we were working on. So, there was a lot that was going on behind the scenes and a lot of things, you know, in the kitchen. But there's only so much one person can do to, you know, put something out of that quality while sacrificing their health, their mental, you know, health and stuff like that. And it's tough, guys. Even from, I'm just not, you know, throwing myself in there, but even for Holochronicles, it's tough. I'm just doing the audio side. He had to do visuals and working with the Unreal Engine and stuff like that. He's creating visuals and adding audio and motion capture and all that stuff and animation. That's even another level of lexicon that I can't even fathom the amount of stress and physical pain that goes with it. So my heart's out to him that he got us this far. And sure, maybe he should have, you know, at least released the first episode first before, you know, shutting it all down. And, you know, but there are a lot of things that happened. And of course, he put out the apology, Sweet Lake being a great dude, you know, helping him get that message out there that he is sorry about, you know, Patreon and the patrons and stuff like that. And if he could refund the money, he could and stuff like that. There's so much more that happened behind there that I'm not privy to. So I don't want to speak out of turn. Either way, all of us are still in contact with each other and we're all still friends. It is unfortunate that, you know, some things happened with other people, but at the same time, we're all still in this together. So if one of us needed help, or we still talk to each other, us, the cast members, we still do. So that's basically all I know. And I'm still like, thank you, Scott, for bringing me along with the cast of people, group of people that are just as passionate about KOTOR and the project that we all signed up on, because we genuinely enjoy having each other's company and talking to each other about Star Wars and life in general. We're still all friends, and we're looking to work with each other again at some point in time on a later project, maybe, but we still talk. So that is the biggest positive out of it. Sure, on the Discord itself, the Unreal Discord, people just, the, you know, the anger and stuff like that, just like, oh, blah, 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 blah. We understand. We do. But again, put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in the animator's shoes. Let's see how well you handle that stress whenever you have to talk to studio heads or you have to animate this stuff on your own with your own money, with your own time, with no sleep. And sometimes you don't eat, you don't drink anything. It's just you, computer screen, keyboard, and mouse. Let's see how you do and see if it comes out to the same level of quality that was being promised. I dare you to do the same. So that's how that's my stance on it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. And I apologize if the way I phrased the question seemed like, no, I was trying to dig for drama at all.
No.
It wasn't the attention.
Not at all. The drama already happened with people on the Discord, the discourse behind it and stuff like that. Understandably so. And we know. But at the same time, you weren't digging. It was not unfortunate that for me to sign up onto it. It was fortunate for me because then it opened doors to new relationships and friendships that I never would have maybe had. And meeting people that have helped me along the way with Holochronicles and other things on the way. So, again, It was a blessing to actually be a part of something that huge. I didn't even think I was going to get it. Like, honestly, because, again, I think I did season two or was in the middle of season two of Holo Chronicles, just freshly stepping into voice acting. I didn't think I was that good. So somebody said, nope, you're good. We like you. Come on in. And yeah. Here we are.
Yeah. Who told you to audition? I can't remember.
You did.
It was me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just being funny. But.
Mm-hmm. That out there is called fishing for a compliment. Mm-hmm. Masterclass by Cassius.
Yeah.
When I said you, it was Brian.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Brian beat me. Okay, fine.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
I guess we can cut it out to make Brian look better. So. Mm.
See, there you go.
See, no, the reverse.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah,
it was Cassia, guys. It was Cassia.
It was Cassia. But yeah, just to echo that, it's hard to fathom because you do Holo Chronicles of a Jedi, and we've done a couple of projects here through our own podcast, and you know, you publish those and you never know how it's going to go. So, like, to have it go viral, like, you know Scott's project did there, that KOTOR adaptation, like it just blew up, and it went from, you know, one person doing this project, you know, kind of in your free time for fun, to being like this huge, like millions of eyes on it. It's like an unimaginable level of stress for like one person to take on without the, you know, full resources of something that's, you know, meant to handle stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even running this podcast, you know, like, and I have like a lot of friends and help with it, but even like sometimes behind the scenes, there's just like little things that kind of break your heart, you know? And, you know, sometimes Star Wars fans are passionate, but they can also be the worst, you know?
Oh, yes. And they can be passionate and cruel and very quick on the draw to just go to the dark side, if you will. And it's just like, come on, guys. Yeah. Come on.
What would Luke do, you know?
Well, he would try to kill his nephew, according to the sequel trilogy, so I don't know.
Okay, maybe I'll say, what would Obi-Wan Kenobi do? You
know? Well, he would walk away and condemn the galaxy to death and destruction. I don't know.
That's when you just silently just... Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyways, so, yeah.
What would Qui-Gon do? He would do the right thing. He would go against the council and do the right thing. There you go.
The right thing. What would Jolie Bindo do in this situation?
Right,
is the right thing to ask all the time.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So, like, any fun audio drama tidbits you wanted to share with the listeners? Like, because, like we said, you were the narrator and also Rook, and then you voiced half of part two.
Mm-hmm.
It kind
Which
of goes
is coming
back
out on November the 3rd, 2023.
November
Mark your calendars
3rd, yeah.
out there.
And I was going to say, like, it kind of goes back to what you say, like, about, like, this podcast exists. A lot of people complain, but it's like, I made Holo Chronicles. I made this podcast, you know? Because sometimes, like, people say they want to, like, try out, do this, and then it's like, sometimes it's like, okay, I guess it's Marcus voices half of the people.
As I was going to, what was I going to say? Tidbits about the audio drama. Well, if y'all want some little bit of drama, if you want to, the whole fight scene between all of the Jedi and Revan, I kind of wrote that, and Cassia didn't like the fact that Revan beheaded somebody, because that's what he would do in that situation, instead of just stabbing in the chest and being boring. This is the Old Republic, people. This isn't the new regime. People get their heads cut off in sword fights all the time. What's the difference between that and Star Wars? Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, no. I guess if
That's
I
true.
Ever do
That's true.
The George Lucas edition, I'll be like, I'll edit it and be like, it's just stabbed in the chest, but I don't have that technology,
right.
You know?
That's right. And, so. And the, in the re-release, Greedo will be there to decapitate whoever.
Exactly. And then that's where I go, this is not canon, ladies and gentlemen. This is a rogue operative that decided to tarnish this film. This is the original version. Do not watch the new version. Only the original.
You could say it's Rogue One.
Oh, God.
I believe there was a man named George that demanded that change be made up on the sale, but that's okay. I digress. Yeah, you definitely did help out writing that. And Cassia has made it very clear that you helped write that section because you're good at the action sequences. See the action sequences in Holochronicles of a Jedi. So I did some writing, did lots and lots of voice acting and narrating and stuff like that. You know, Cassia mentioned you do like half the cast here for you know, episode 2 that's coming out here shortly. Was there like a favorite character that you like to voice there on the Jedi Council?
Vandar, honestly.
Vandar. Okay.
Zar was cool. Did I do Zar? I think I did the whole council, didn't I? Except for one other person.
Except for Dorak and Atriss.
Got it. So it's gonna be Vandar.
Yeah.
My Atriss is not that good.
We're gonna have to brush up on it for Holochronicles of Atriss. So,
oh, yeah. God. Again, you guys can write that. It's fine. It may not be coming out of the under the Holochronicles brand, but you guys can do something about it. I don't know.
Yeah, and then looking forward to part 3. Was there anything that you kind of really liked about part 3 that you want to hype up?
Well, it's after the Siege of Isis, and it's the victory lap. But let's just say that there might be a little bit of a inner turmoil and catalyst that may sway Jolie a little bit to the dark side. Just a little, maybe.
Huh.
Just a little.
Interesting.
'Cause we,
I guess it's interesting.
It's like we all know Jedi get tempted all the time, but what's the catalyst?
Probably Nayama.
I don't know.
My guess. I don't know. No,
and
no
maybe
one
we
knows.
Might, and we might meet another Mandalorian in this episode. We might meet a Mandalorian. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
very
nice.
Interesting. Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. Now I'm not gonna put you on the spot here.
And yet here he goes.
But here I go. I'm not gonna put you on the spot, except for this spot right here. Now you teased a couple things that said, you know, some stuff potentially happening in the future. I'm not gonna hold you to anything like that. Now you've got. You know, the stuff recorded at least for season 3 here, the final season, and you know, you have some tinkering to do maybe here before all of the episodes get out. But have you turned like your brain on to any other kind of things that you want to do? I know you did like the Hadley's Hope thing. Do you want to go back to something like in the alien world? Is there some other kind of project that you would have interest in doing, or are your wheels turning a little bit thinking, what's next here for my audio drama skills and late nights and things?
Well, that's a good question, Brian. Currently, right now, since it's Halloween, ladies and gentlemen, the Halloween season, if you would like to listen to Last Survivor of Hadley's Hope, it is currently streaming right now on all platforms of podcast. Yes, if you like the Alien films, it's set right before Aliens. So following the people on Hadley's Hope, that colony, what happened to them? What was it like the night that the Xenomorphs took them? Shameless plug over. Nope. As of right now, my brain is currently checked out on doing things on podcast right about now. Yes, there's still room for voice acting out there, so I'm out there. If y'all want to hire me, just at me. But as of right now, as far as audio dramas or, you know, podcast of any kind, this season of Holochronicles has drained nearly the life out of me, so I'm just like, you know what? I'm taking a vacation. I'm going to binge on video games right now because I have missed out on a lot. Fun fact, a promise to myself as of finishing Holochronicles season 3 was that I am going to, you know, got a PS5 not too long ago, so luckily a lot of games are backwards compatible.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, so there's one game that I didn't get a chance to play on the PS4 because I skipped the PS4 because I was like, I could skip generation or something I really want, except for one game. Uncharted 4, A Thieves' End. And I
was going to guess Uncharted. Yeah, I love it.
So, yeah, that was my reward since I finished it. And now I'm currently in my gaming binge right now, which means I'm currently finishing the final season of The Walking Dead, the Telltale series. I'm finishing that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And just before Spider-Man 2 on the PS5. So, yes, I am taking a gaming binge break. Okay. Yeah, taking a break.
That's very nice.
I have earned it.
You definitely deserve it. Yes, Spider-Man comes out here in just like 2 weeks, I think, as of recording this. I'm glad to hear you're into the Telltale Walking Dead games, because my little dog is named Clementine after the greatest video game character of all time. And Uncharted 4 is worth going and checking out. Did you play the other Uncharted games? That was the only one you missed?
That was the only reason why I bought a PS3 was Uncharted.
Okay. Yeah.
That and Heavenly Sword. But still, that was the number one reason why I bought it. And maybe Killzone. But Uncharted was the number one reason, because I was like, wait a minute. He can roll in water and like a bottom of his jeans get wet? This is new graphics. This is like Indiana Jones. What is this? And ended up loving every second of it. Played every single one except for the PS Vita one, but I did watch the story of it, so it's fine. But either way, yes. So, yeah, I played all the Uncharteds and rebought the remaster version for the PS5, and then bought the remaster version of Uncharted 4 for the PS5, the one that's just... I didn't play it on the PS4, so naturally I bought the PS5 version that came with Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, which was also awesome.
Lost Legacy following is Chloe. Real good. Yeah, real good.
Yep, so Chloe and Nadine, and the rest is history, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I'm taking a break and I'm on a gaming binge.
Marcus will be unreachable until Uncharted 4 gets finished. But that's okay. That's definitely
until Spider-Man is finished. What are you talking about?
I guess he better buckle down then, so you get through Uncharted before.
And then maybe Spider-Man in the Whispering Wisp. There you go. Oh, okay. I got games to play.
I've heard that. That's good too. So yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Cassia, did you have any other questions or anything before we kind of wrap up? I had kind of one last kind of just general question, I guess.
I just wanted to say thank you for coming on. It's always great to talk to you, and maybe during your gaming binge vacay, I'll send you a book, you know, just so you remember what they are.
Put down the controller and read a book, why don't ya?
you can use the book as a coaster for your drink while you're playing.
I already got one. There, you got a Tales one that you sent. I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding.
Awesome.
She didn't like that one.
no, she did not. You're off the podcast forever now if you scorn books in front of
Cassia. I just feel the sharp pain in my left arm. I don't know where it's coming from. Yeah, she's got telekinesis.
So before we cut you loose here for today, Marcus, I just wanted to kind of ask this just general question here, kind of about Hollow Chronicles of a Jedi. I would imagine that most people listening here to the Old Republic podcast are familiar at least somewhat with Jolie Bindo, but we have been doing a lot more just kind of general like Star Wars contact, the Hero's Journey stuff, and we might have a lot of new listeners out there that are, you know, just into Star Wars and maybe aren't as familiar with Knights of the Old Republic and Jolie Bindo in particular. So if you could, just before we head out of here, could you give like a pitch just to general Star Wars fans or just storytelling fans out there why they should check out Hollow Chronicles of a Jedi?
We all know stories about the great Jedis that we saw in the movies, television shows, cartoons, all of it. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ahsoka Tano, Anakin Skywalker, Qui-Gon Jinn, even Count Dooku for a moment, before he became a Sith. Yoda, we all know this. But here's the thing. They all followed the code to a T. Maybe not so much Qui-Gon. And that is the reason why he was one of my favorites of all time. And then came a lovely game on the original Xbox called Knights of the Republic that introduced us to a whole new era of Star Wars way removed from the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy that opened the floodgates to anything. Just like that guy on the vehicle just drove right towards it like I did too whenever it first came out. I fell in love with that game, like many. But the thing is that, yes, you have Bastila Shan. Yes, you have Revan. You can train him up to be a Jedi just by the book, and you make your decisions. But there was one particular character in that game that really struck a chord, and his name was Jolie Bendo. Yes. Whenever you meet him, he's a grumpy old man. He was a lightsaber wielder, force wielder as well, but he never really came off as a traditional Jedi. And that's what really made him interesting. Sure, you know, Bastila asked him, like, why wouldn't you come back to the Jedi Order? You're a force wielder. You fight for the good. It's like he would tell you is that, yeah, I'm a force wielder. I fight with a lightsaber, but I'm not a Jedi per se. And throughout this series, you find out why in Hollow Chronicles. And he tells you his story throughout the game. And I decided to, you know what, let's adapt that story into a 3-season arc. He tells you the tales, the heartbreak, the pain, the stress, all that stuff. Why not experience it with him? And that was the idea behind it. And that is what I wanted to give out to you, the listener, and out there in the world of Star Wars fans looking for new, engaging, heartfelt, and emotional and immersive stories that, honestly, it's kind of lacking in Star Wars right now. So that's why a lot of people turn to fan content, because we know we may not be making the content, you know, from that's you're seeing on television right now, but we still believe in telling stories that will resonate with everyone, not just a certain section of fans of the original trilogy, sequel trilogy, prequel trilogy, to all fans, and how it reverberates throughout the fandom. So my pitch, that is the pitch I'm giving. It's just like, do you want a story about a Jedi that's not so by the book, that doesn't follow the code to a T, who goes against basically what he's told, but he ends up doing the right thing instead of just going, well, I shouldn't intervene because the Republic said so and the Jedi Council said no because we are neutral. No, there's turmoil. There's people suffering. Jedis are keepers of the peace. Not soldiers, but keepers of the peace. They help those that are in need. Well, Eucatis. Jolie goes out and helps. That's what he does. He may not do that as much in the KOTOR game because he's been through it. He's been through life. But you find out why he becomes that hermit, essentially, by the time we get to the game. But throughout Hollow Chronicles, you find that out. So that is my pitch to you. If you want a story that is about a Padawan who faces many, many challenges in being a Jedi or being a Padawan, wanting to be a Jedi, striving to be gifted that rank of Jedi, possibly Jedi Knight. But also he falls in love, which is not necessarily, you know, rewarded in the Jedi Order. It's more looked down upon because it leads to you know, possession and stuff like that leads to despair. It's like anger, all that stuff. No. Let's see what it's really like for at least one Padawan wanting to be a Jedi. Let's see him go through the trials of becoming a Jedi. Let's see it. But in this case, let's hear it.
Okay, very awesome, very awesome. Yeah, that is definitely a good reason to check out Hollow Chronicles of a Jedi, and you should go do that right now. If you're listening to this, once the episode ends, go to wherever you're listening to this, any of your podcast players, type in Hollow Chronicles of a Jedi, you're going to find it. Start at season one, because it's amazing, it gets you set up into the story, and then season three is ongoing right now, so potentially 3 episodes are out, you know, kind of as the time you're listening to this, you can get caught up and then listen along, you know, week to week to catch up and stay caught up on all the goings on there with Jolie Bendo. It's an excellent time and highly recommend it. I've been a big fan of the the podcast there, the Holochronicles story, ever since I very first heard of it. Shout out to Ash and Brian, I think, was where I first caught it on their YouTube channel. Talking to you was how I got introduced to it in the very first place. So definitely want to give them thanks, I guess. Because
shout out to Ash and Brian. You two are lovely people, and you are amazing parents already.
Yeah, that's going to kind of wrap it up here as far as the teaser for Holochronicles and our little conversation about it and the other projects that we've got going on. So, Marcus, thank you so much for coming back on to the podcast. I know we had to twist your arm. We had to twist your arm to get you on here, of course.
But, not hard enough.
But we definitely thank you for taking some time out and coming on, and thank you for taking all the time that you needed to get Holochronicles of a Jedi out there, because it's excellent. So tell all the listeners out there where they can connect with you, find your website, your movie blog, Hadley's Hope, all the things. Tell people where to get all the things.
Well, first off, thank you, Cassie and Brian, for joining me on the show of Holochronicles, giving me your time and trusting me and directing you guys and putting you on the show. Thank you very much for that. And thank you, Huni, once again, for trusting me as well. It's like, I'm glad I broke all three of you out of your shells. And especially for the future voice actors that will show up later in the series, thank you. Thank you for helping me bring this vision to life and helping me get this out of my head and into the verse and off the page. But yeah, if you guys want to follow me, you can always find me through my FIT. Yes, I said FIT. Basically, FITT. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even Tumblr, ladies and gentlemen. That's my FIT. But
technically,
the number one,
Twitter is X now. So
my fixed.
You're
it's CrossFit.
CrossFit.
Ugh.
That. Oh, nailed
oh,
it.
Oh, that hurt.
So good. Good job.
I'm not calling it X. It's called Twitter. I don't give a damn what anybody says. It's still linked to the same thing, so
yeah.
oh god, that hurt. Yeah,
go to Marcus's
themozareview.com. themozareview.com, that's where all my links are going to be instantly, where you can check out the movie reviews I do, television reviews. Mostly it's been Star Wars and Marvel content, but I'm going to branch out hopefully with the Continental. I will sign up for that free trial. I don't care. Yeah, that's basically where you can find me. If you got any questions or anything like that, just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, X, or Twitter, actually, and I will reply to you as soon as quickly as possible. It may take me some time, but I will get to you. Don't worry. Yeah, that's basically where you can find me. And if you're looking for a voice actor, hit me up and I will be available in between sessions on Spider-Man 2. So, whatever.
Yeah. You'll just hear Spider-Man 2 in the background of the, of the voice recording. That's okay. That's okay. No, thank
great
you.
Power
thank you.
Comes great responsibility. Yeah,
that's right. We'll have to do a Spider-Man 2 pod. Maybe we'll have you on once you finish the game. So
thank
you so much, Marcus, for coming on. We definitely appreciate it. Appreciate your time. And yeah, go check out Holochronicles of a Jedi. Everyone out there, it's a really amazing job. It's amazing work that Marcus did, and it's a really great story. So go check it out. And thank you so much for tuning in. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The Old Republic podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, as well as everywhere else that Anchor podcasts are distributed. Subscriptions, reviews, and shares help us out.
And if you want to connect with the podcast on Twitter, we can be found at Old Republic Pod. And if you want to connect with me, I can be found on Instagram at Astro_Droid_.
You can find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Old Republic Podcast. Our intro and outro themes were composed by Dennis S. Mowers at DennisSMowersMusic.com.
This episode of the Old Republic Podcast has been brought to you by Nikki Dog from Patreon. May the Force be with you. We will be back soon. Bye for now.